Al-Bayan Radio presents Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi presented by Nidal Ayyubi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, as-salatu was-salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. As-salamu alaykum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome back to our series Prophetic Pearls, a brief explanation of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Today we have reached hadith 35, do not be envious of one another.
الحديث الخامس والثلاثون عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغضوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا المسلم أخو المسلم لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يكذبه ولا يحقره التقوى هاهنا ويشير إلى صدره ثلاث مرات بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه رواه مسلم.
On the authority of Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, who said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not be envious of one another. Do not artificially raise prices against one another. Do not hate one another. Do not turn one's back on each other. And do not undercut one another in business transactions. And be, O servants of Allah, brethren or brothers. A Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He does not wrong him. He does not fail him when he needs him. He does not lie to him. And he does not show contempt for him, or nor looks down upon him. Piety is here. And he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, pointed to his chest three times. And he continued to say, it is enough evil for a person to hold his brother in contempt. All of a Muslim is sacred and honored to another Muslim, his blood, his wealth, and his honor. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith is a great hadith. And it shows us that the brotherhood of Islam is not something simply based on theory or beyond the practical reach of humans. Muslims have been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to treat each other as brothers. At the same time, though Allah has guided Muslims to specific acts that create love and brotherhood, He has also prohibited Muslims specific acts that would harm or damage that brotherhood in any fashion. This particular hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, is one very important example in which the steps to attaining true brotherhood are detailed and mentioned and outlined by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If we were to apply the sublime teachings of this hadith, there would be, by the will and permission of Allah, a great change and improvement in our relationships and our love for one another. The first part of this hadith,
لا تحاسدوا,
do not be envious of one another. And my dear brothers and sisters, hasad, translated as envy, is something, as Ibn Rajab states, rahimahullah, that is firmly embedded in the nature of man. It is where a person hates to see anyone else being superior or better off than him. Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, he defined hasad as disliking a bounty that another has received and wishing that the other person would lose their bounty. My dear brothers and sisters, this disease of the heart and the sin which is known as hasad was one of the first sins ever committed. It was one of the main things that drove the shaitan or Satan away from his Lord. For as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, shaitan had pride and envy. Shaitan was jealous and envious of Adam alayhi salam because of all the special blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam, including the fact that the angels and others at that time were ordered to prostrate to Adam, and the fact that Adam alayhi salam was given knowledge that Satan was not given. Shaitan or Satan's response was the classic response of envy and arrogance. He felt that he was better than Adam alayhi salam and did not feel that Allah was right in giving such bounties to Adam. Allah tells us, describing this situation in Surah Al-A'raf, Ayah 12, Allah said,
قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا الهدى إذ أمرتك قال أنا خير منه خلقتني
What kept you from prostrating when I ordered you? He, meaning Iblis or the Shaitan, said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. So envy, my dear brothers and sisters, is forbidden, as it can also cause harm by the permission of Allah to the one who is envied. My dear brothers and sisters, when hasad spreads among a people, it is very destructive. It strikes at the very core of the love and compassion that the believer should have toward one another. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning hasad, creeping upon you is the disease of the peoples before you, envy and hatred. And hatred is the thing that shaves. I do not say it shaves hair, but it shaves the religion. By the one in whose hand is my soul, or he said, by the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, you will not enter paradise until you believe, and you do not believe until you love one another. Certainly let me inform you of that which will establish such for you, spreading the greetings of peace among yourselves. This hadith is recorded by Ahmad and also At-Tirmidhi and has been declared Hasan. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, hasad is always accompanied by hatred. And this is one of the evils of hasad. First, the person is envious of the other person. After some time, this envy develops into hatred. And as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, hatred toward another Muslim, as shown in this hadith, is to be avoided and is prohibited. Hasad, my dear brothers and sisters, may lead to the breaking up of the Muslim community and may cause destruction to the family unit. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, there is much we can say about hasad, but due to this series being brief, we'll move on and discuss one final point regarding hasad, and that is what is not considered hasad, and that is to compete with one another in acts of righteousness and getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as this is not hasad. This in fact is a praised action, as everyone should be striving their best to that which is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah says in Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Ayah 26, And for this, let those who want to strive compete. My dear brothers and sisters, there are two important keys to this type of healthy competition. The first key is that one wishes he has goodness and even excels others in goodness, while at the same time, he does not mind if others have the same goodness. In other words, there is no jealousy or envy involved. He is not hoping to remove what others have received, nor does it make him unhappy that others have received such good deeds. Indeed, if he's a true believer, he'll be competing with others to please Allah, while at the same time, he would love that his brother is also doing what is pleasing to Allah. And the second key, my dear brothers and sisters, is that the competition is with respect to the hereafter and not for the matters of this world. Competition with respect to this world is blameworthy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to such people in the Quran in Surah Al-Qasas, Ayah 79 and Ayah 80.
فخرج على قومي في زينتي قال الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا يا ليت لنا مثل ما أوتي قارون إنه لذو حظ.
Then he, Qarun, came out before his people in all his glamour. Those who desired the life of this world wished, if only we could have something like what Qarun had been given. He is truly a man of great fortune.
وَلَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ
But those gifted with knowledge said, shame on you. Allah's reward is far better for those who believe and do good. But none will attain this except the steadfast. Now there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which says, there is not to be hasad except with respect to two, a person to whom Allah has given wealth and he uses it up for the purpose of truth, and another man whom Allah has given wisdom and judges by it and teaches it. This hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. In this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, the meaning of hasad is actually al-ghibta, which is where one wishes for what another has, but does not wish that that blessing has removed from the other person. Wallahu a'lam. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا تَنَاجَشُوا.
Do not artificially raise prices against one another. My dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing the Muslims here not to commit this artificial or fake raising of prices against one another. This is when a person, either the buyer or the seller, bids up the price of an item. That person, if he's the buyer for example, that person has no intention whatsoever of buying the item. He's either trying to raise the price in order to help the seller, or he is doing it simply to hurt the buyer. My dear brothers and sisters, the reason for this being prohibited is that it harms brotherhood. Instead of wishing for what is best for another Muslim, one is performing an act that is going to hurt his fellow brother in Islam by robbing him of some of his wealth. And this obviously harms the true love and brotherhood that should exist among Muslims. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا تَبَغَضُوا.
Do not hate one another. My dear brothers and sisters, Muslims are prohibited from hating each other for any sake other than for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muslims are not allowed to hate each other simply due to their own personal desires. A Muslim cannot hate another Muslim simply because he's from a particular country or his skin is of a particular color and so on and so forth. All of that type of hatred is forbidden and goes against true Islamic brotherhood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. As brothers should love one another and not hate one another. And my dear brothers and sisters, it is clear in the Quran that one of the greatest blessings that Allah gives to the believers is the unity and love of the brotherhood of Islam. This is a very special bond. Allah brings the hearts of the true believers together in a way that is stronger than any other bond of this world. If the Muslims lose that feeling of brotherhood and strong bond of faith, they have lost a very important bounty. Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, Ayah 103,
وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار وكنتم على شفا حفرة من النار فأنقذكم.
And remember Allah's favor upon you. You were enemies one to another, but He joined your hearts together so that by His grace you became brothers, and you were on a brink of a pit of fire, and He saved you from it. Allah also says in Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 63.
إِنَّهُ عَزِيزٌ حَكِيمٌ.
and he has united their hearts, meaning the believers' hearts. If you, O Muhammad, had spent all that is in the earth, you could not have united their hearts, but it is Allah who has united them. Certainly He is almighty, all wise. My dear brothers and sisters, we should never undermine the importance of true brotherhood and true love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, you will not enter paradise until you believe, and you will not believe until you love one another. Certainly I shall guide you to something. If you do it, you will love one another. Spread the greetings of peace among yourselves. And this hadith is found in Sahih Muslim. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, Muslims are not allowed to hate each other, and we have to avoid all actions that lead to having hate to one another. We must show respect to one another and treat each other fairly. And what will assist us in doing so, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, is the instructions we find in this particular hadith. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا تَدَابَرُوا.
Do not turn one's back on one another. My dear brothers and sisters, turning one's back on one another can also mean, as found in other reports, do not cut off relations, instead of do not turn one's back to each other. For as we know, Muslims should always be open to each other. We should always greet one another. When one is greeted by another, he should respond. Also, when we greet one another, we should greet and meet one another with a smile. These are all aspects of true brotherhood of Islam. And as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us, it is not permissible to boycott or cut off your brother for more than 3 days. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, it is not allowed for a man to boycott his brother for more than 3 nights. When they meet one another, this one turns away and the other turns away. The best of them is the first to offer the greetings. This hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim. Now, there are permissible forms of boycotting which serve an Islamic purpose, which the ulama have discussed, where one is disassociated from if it's going to bring him back to the right way or the right path. And this is where the objectives of Islam are fulfilled and an Islamic benefit is served. Wallahu alam. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا يَبِعْ بَعْضُكُمْ عَلَى بَيْعِ بَعْضٍ.
Do not undercut one another in business transactions. So my dear brothers and sisters, we should not undercut one another in business transactions. For example, if someone is trying to buy something from a salesman, in the middle of the negotiations, another salesman appears and interferes and tries to get that customer to buy his product instead. This kind of transaction is forbidden because the customer has yet to make his final decision and will lead to the disunity of the Muslim community. My dear brothers and sisters, this hadith and other hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam emphasize that the teachings of Islam covers all aspects of our life. And even in dealing with one another in business transactions, it has set principles and etiquettes that will maintain peace, love and harmony amongst the Muslims. My dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many ahadith spoke about the adab and manners and etiquettes of buying and selling, such as the following report found in Sahih al-Bukhari, where he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, may Allah have mercy on the one who is easygoing and generous while buying, while selling, and when demanding his right. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا.
And be as fellow brothers and servants of Allah, or and be, O servants of Allah, brothers. My dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is stating the whole point of the previous instructions, and that is, you should be brothers one to another, treating each other with respect, without hatred, and without working against each other in any way. This is the way a Muslim should think of himself. He should think of himself as a member of a great brotherhood. This brotherhood is made up of the servants of Allah. The only goal of this brotherhood should be to serve and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no need and there is no room for working against one another and trying to get ahead of each other in this worldly realm. The goal is to please and serve Allah, and that goal is partially met by treating each other properly and being brothers for the sake of Allah. This goal can be met by the will of Allah when Muslims stop envying each other, stop hating each other, stop boycotting one another, and stop working against one another just to get ahead in this world. One can understand from the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Muslims must be with respect to one another as a single brotherhood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. Verily, the believers are but brothers. Anything that works against this feeling of brotherhood, my dear brothers and sisters, should be avoided. Anything that improves this feeling of brotherhood and strengthens the ties among the believers should be promoted. Now, my dear brothers and sisters, in the remainder of this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned some specific acts that Muslims should always avoid with respect to their fellow brothers and sisters in Islam. Indeed, these acts strike at the very foundation of true brotherhood. In other words, it is inconceivable that true brothers would do such acts towards one another. Now we'll move on to the next part of the hadith.
المسلم أخو المسلم.
A Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. My dear brothers and sisters, before mentioning the acts that should be avoided, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave like an introduction or a general statement, which means that every Muslim is a brother to every other Muslim, regardless of nationality, race, skin, color, and so forth. One is part and parcel of this Muslim brotherhood. He must be treated as part of the Muslim brotherhood. Moving on to the next part of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said,
لا يظلمه.
He does not wrong him, meaning he does not wrong his brother in Islam. And the word used here is ظلم. He does not perform or commit ظلم toward his brother. But as we know, my dear brothers and sisters, ظلم is placing a thing in other than its place, in whatever form. So it may be injustice regarding the self or wealth or honor of a person. This is all prohibited in Islam. For this wrongdoing and oppression leads to hatred. And we have discussed ظلم or oppression when we spoke about Hadith 24. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا يَخْذُلُهُ.
He does not fail him when he needs him. In general, my dear brothers and sisters, one thinks of a brother as someone he can rely upon in times of need. When a Muslim deserts another in his time of need, he is demonstrating that he is, in reality, not a friend, let alone being a close brother in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has told us and encouraged us that true Muslim brothers help and assist one another. As he says in the hadith found in Bukhari, Unsur akhaka zaliman aw madhluman. Help your brother, whether he is the one doing wrong or the one being wronged. قالوا يا رسول الله هذا ننصره مظلوما فكيف ننصره ظالما. They said, O Messenger of Allah, we know how to help him if he's being wronged, but how do we help him if he's the one doing the wrong? He sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, take him by his hand. In other words, as stated in another narration, keep him from wrongdoing, and that is how you help him. My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders Muslims to help each other in whatever is sanctioned by the Sharia. He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is found in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 2, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Help one another in acts of righteousness and piety. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا يَكْذِبُهُ.
He does not lie to him. My dear brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam here is prohibiting lying to one another. For as we know, when a person lies to someone else, he is betraying the other person's trust in him. When a brother listens to his brother, he expects that his brother is telling him the truth. He would not expect that his own brother is going to intentionally tell him something that he knows is not true. Lying, my dear brothers and sisters, can also lead to hatred. In general, most people do not like to be lied to. So this should be avoided, as it is something which is prohibited and dispraised. A Muslim is a person of truth, especially with his fellow Muslim. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
وَلَا يَحْقِرُهُ.
And he does not show contempt for him. My dear brothers and sisters, pride and arrogance, like envy, is one of the first sins ever committed, as we mentioned previously. Therefore, it should be avoided, as a Muslim does not look down at his fellow brother or sister in Islam. My dear brothers and sisters, from the most severe of diseases that can affect a person and affect his heart is the disease of arrogance and pride. For even a small amount of it in one's heart can lead to the hellfire. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, as is found in Sahih Muslim, one who has an atom's weight of pride in his heart will not enter paradise. A man said, but a man loves that his clothes are nice and his shoes are nice. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, "Inna Allah jamilun yuhibbul jamal al-kibru batarul haqq wa ghamtun nas." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then replied, "Verily Allah is beautiful and loves beauty. Pride is rejecting the truth and showing disdain for the people or looking down at the people." Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
التقوى ها هنا ويشير إلى صدره ثلاث مرات.
Where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Piety is here," and he pointed to his chest 3 times. As we have discussed previously, my dear brothers and sisters, the most important issue for a Muslim is not his looks or the color of his skin or the amount of wealth and property he has. It is his taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
"Yeah."
O mankind, verily we created you from a male and female and made you into nations and tribes that you may know one another. Verily the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is the one with the most taqwa. Verily Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. This ayah is found in Surah Al-Hujurat, ayah 13. So my dear brothers and sisters, taqwa is in the heart. And the most noble of people are those who are righteous. And this righteousness shows itself or manifests itself with the actions of the limbs, with the external performance of actions. Moving on to the next part of the hadith.
بحسب امرئ من الشر أن يحقر أخاه المسلم.
It is enough evil for a person to hold his brother Muslim in contempt. My dear brothers and sisters, here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is emphasizing what he stated earlier, in that a Muslim should never show contempt or look down upon another Muslim or have pride and arrogance towards another Muslim. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, a Muslim should not be arrogant and look down upon a person whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed. For a Muslim does not belittle any other Muslim, for the most insignificant Muslim in the eyes of the people is great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we'll move on to the final part of the hadith.
كل المسلم على المسلم حرام دمه وماله وعرضه.
All of a Muslim is sacred and honored to another Muslim, his blood, his wealth, and his honor. My dear brothers and sisters, this is one of the most important messages of Islam with respect to the Muslim society. For this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took the most opportune moment to give the same teaching. According to Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he gave the same instruction in speeches given during his farewell pilgrimage on the day of sacrifice, the day of Arafah, and the second day of the days of sacrifice, meaning Eid al-Adha. So this part of the hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, basically summarizes what this whole hadith is about. This hadith clearly states that harming others either by sayings or actions is an evil act. And all of the Muslim is sacred and honored and haram, in other words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said,
وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ بِغَيْرِ مَا اكْتَسَبُوا
And those who harm believing men and believing women for something other than what they have earned have certainly borne upon themselves a slander and manifest sin. And this ayah is found in Surah Al-Ahzab, ayah 58. So a Muslim is sacred, is protected, is honored in regards to his blood. And obviously this is except in cases permitted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, a Muslim must avoid the shedding of any other Muslim's blood. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has also said, abusing a Muslim is disobedience to Allah and fighting him is kufr. as is found in Bukhari and Muslim. In another report found in Sunan Abi Dawood and declared Sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani, a believer will continue to move along quickly toward paradise and in a good state as long as he does not spill forbidden blood. If he spills forbidden blood, he becomes slow and heavy-footed. Also, the Prophet ﷺ said, the perishing of this world is lighter in Allah's sight than the killing of a Muslim man. And this hadith is recorded by An-Nasa'i and declared Sahih by Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. So a Muslim's blood is sacred and haram. Also, a Muslim's wealth is also protected. Therefore, a Muslim should show respect for his brother's wealth or property in the same way he shows respect to his life and blood. The Prophet ﷺ has said, the wealth of a Muslim person is not permissible except by the pleasure of his soul. This hadith is recorded by Dar al-Qutni and al-Bayhaqi and declared sahih by Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. So in other words, my dear brothers and sisters, one cannot take or use any portion of another brother's wealth unless one is certain that he is pleased with that and he does not disapprove of such an act. Also, my dear brothers and sisters, a Muslim's honor is to be respected like his life and his wealth are to be respected. This means that one must be extremely careful at what one says about another Muslim. A Muslim's honor should never be attacked without due cause in the Sharia. A Muslim's name should never be dragged through the mud simply out of spite and desire to see one's brother hurt. Such actions are grave matters and once again strike at the very core of true brotherhood that Islam seeks to create amongst the Muslims. And there are many rules and regulations in Islam that come to protect the honor of a Muslim, such as the punishment for defaming and slandering another Muslim, also the prohibition of backbiting, and so on and so forth. Well, dear brothers and sisters, to summarize and conclude, there are many lessons we can gain and benefit from this hadith. From them is that Muslims are all servants of Allah, and they must look at each other and actually treat each other like brothers. And obviously this applies to the sisters as well. This brotherhood is not simply something that merely exists on the lips, but it must actually be put into practice in everyday living. And this is partly accomplished by adhering to the following teachings that have come from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this hadith. 1, the Muslim brothers should not be envious of one another. 2, they should not hurt each other financially by artificially raising prices against one another or undercutting sales that have already been concluded. 3, they should not hate each other and consequently they should avoid all of those acts that could generate hatred among brothers. 4, they should not turn away from each other and avoid one another. Instead, when they see each other, they should greet each other with greetings of peace and with a smiling face. 5, a brother should not commit any type of dhulam with respect to his brother. 6, a true Muslim is the one who comes to his brother's assistance and does not abandon him in his hour of need. 7, true brothers do not lie to each other. Instead, they are honest and straightforward with one another. 8, a true brother sees his brother as his equal, or he sees his brother as being superior. He would never be so arrogant as to look down on his brother or despise his brother. My dear brothers and sisters, we also learn from this hadith that the true estimate of a person's wealth is his taqwa. It is not outer manifestations of this world, such as wealth, position, lineage, and so forth. But taqwa is in the heart, and no one except Allah knows the true level of a person's taqwa. No Muslim can know for certain that he has more taqwa or more fear and consciousness of Allah than another Muslim. Therefore, no Muslim could ever know for certain that he is better than another Muslim. So there is no need to ever look down upon or show contempt for his brother Muslim. For this is a great evil, my dear brothers and sisters. In fact, by itself, it is a sufficient amount of evil for anyone to perform. We also learn from this hadith, my dear brothers and sisters, that all of a Muslim is inviolable or sacred and honored and protected to every other Muslim. In other words, every Muslim must treat every other Muslim with the proper amount of respect and good behavior. In particular, one must realize that the Muslim's blood is sacred and protected, and therefore one must avoid any form of spilling of Muslim blood or physically injuring a Muslim. Also, a Muslim's wealth is also sacred and protected. Therefore, we must respect the private property of our brothers and sisters in Islam and should not use it unless it is known that our fellow brother approves of that act. And finally, my dear brothers and sisters, one must show the utmost respect for his brother's honor. He must be careful of his speech and never wrongfully harm the honor of his brother or sister in Islam. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.